Raskin's former student, Bill Atkinson, sided with Jobs. They both wanted a powerful processor that could support whizzier graphics and the use of a mouse. Steve had to take the project away from Jeff, Atkinson said. Jeff was pretty firm and stubborn, and Steve was right to take it over. The world got a better result. The disagreements were more than just philosophical. They became clashes of personality. "I think that he likes people to jump when he says jump," Raskin once said. "I felt that he was untrustworthy, and that he does not take kindly to being found wanting. He doesn't seem to like people who see him without a halo." Jobs was equally dismissive of Raskin. "Jeff was really pompous," he said. "He didn't know much about interfaces, so I decided to nab some of his people who were really good, like Atkinson, bring in some of my own, take the thing over, and build a less expensive Lisa, not some piece of junk." Some on the team found Jobs impossible to work with. "Jobs seems to introduce tension, politics, and hassles, rather than enjoying a buffer from those distractions," one engineer wrote in a memo to Raskin in December 1980. "I thoroughly enjoy talking with him, and I admire his ideas, practical perspective, and energy, but I just don't feel that he provides the trusting, supportive, relaxed environment that I need." But many others realized that despite his temperamental failings, Jobs had the charisma and corporate clout that would lead them to make a dent in the universe. Jobs told the staff that Raskin was just a dreamer, whereas he was a doer and would get the Mac done in a year. It was clear he wanted vindication for having been ousted from the Lisa group, and he was energized by competition. He publicly bet John Couch $5,000 that the Mac would ship before the Lisa. "We can make a computer that's cheaper and better than the Lisa and get it out first," he told the team.